Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is another update on the situation with regards to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. In this series of videos, I'm looking at the financial implications of what's going on in Ukraine. And in today's video, I want to talk about Russia's proposal to nationalize the assets of overseas firms. Over the last few weeks, we've seen a variety of statements from multinational companies announcing that they want to cease trading with Russia. And some of those companies have facilities within the country, and they've either suspended the operation or closed them down or announced that they're looking to exit entirely from the country. Now, Russia is obviously concerned about its own economy. And a lot of these international businesses have invested large amounts of capital establishing profitable businesses and creating goods that are required by the Russian population. Now, I reported recently that Russia had introduced a fast-track bankruptcy program under which it was looking to take over a lot of these assets that were being left redundant. And we've now got more detail as to how the process will work in terms of Russia going about nationalizing all of these assets that are being left either idle or are being abandoned entirely by their overseas owners. So in this video, we'll look at the details of how that nationalization program is going to work. We'll look at the sectors that are most affected, because some of the sectors involved here are absolutely huge and have had billions of dollars of investment put into them by overseas companies. And these will be the really desirable assets that the Russian government will go after first. So we'll run through the list of the largest and most attractive assets. We'll then have a look at how some of the Western companies are trying to avoid this process, how they're trying to preserve ownership of their assets. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months and the financial implications of that on the global economy. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're liking the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget that I include chapters in all my videos, so if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And I'd just like to remind you that if you're interested in supporting the channel, have a look in the description below where you'll see a link to Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Russia's ruling party, United Russia, have now approved steps to nationalize any assets of an overseas firm that has announced it is exiting from Russia. Under the terms of this scheme, the Russian authorities can place any business into administration and will then set up a new company. And the assets from the company in administration will be transferred over to the new company, and then the shares of that new company will be put up for auction. So this is a very similar process to what we saw back in the early 90s when the USSR was first broken up and a lot of the industry within Russia was privatized. And I recently posted a video talking about how the Russian oligarch Roman Abramovich managed to get a large stake in an oil business for significantly less than the market value of that company. Under the terms of the scheme, the previous owners can avoid administration, providing that they recommence business within 5 days of the notification and that all business and all employees remain in place. Now, obviously, it's impossible for all of the overseas owners to be able to comply with that restriction because most of these companies have already stopped trading. They've released all their employees, so they've already breached the terms of this proposal. So what this does is it allows the Russian authorities to essentially take control of any assets owned by an overseas business that are no longer trading right now. And under this proposed scheme, they would have full ownership of that business within 3 months, and the shares of that new company that would be taking over the business activities would be put up for auction. But obviously right now, no overseas entities would be taking part in that auction. So this would just be held amongst the Russian business community. So essentially, all of the existing oligarchs and the entrepreneurs in Russia would be able to step in, take over control of this business in exactly the same way as they did back in the early 90s. So let's have a look now at the industries that are going to be most affected by this new ruling. Oil is one of Russia's largest exports and one of its most valuable resources. An oil extraction refinery has grown hugely over the last 30 years in Russia. And a lot of the infrastructure has been developed in conjunction with overseas businesses. And large overseas oil companies have invested billions of dollars in joint ventures with their Russian counterparts. The British company BP has a 19.75% share in Rosneft, and on its most recent balance sheet, around one-third of its total oil reserves were located in Russia. Now, BP has invested around $25 billion into its Russian activities and recently announced that it wanted to exit from all of these investments. No details have been provided in terms of how it was going to achieve that exit, but what we've seen now from the Russian authorities presents them with a very clever way of being able to take this $25 billion of value into Russian ownership. Essentially, what the authorities can now do is set up a NewCo and transfer all of the assets of Rosneft directly into the NewCo, which would then be 100% Russian owned. Under the terms of the scheme, BP would have 5 days to recommence all of its activities, which it's not going to do because it's clearly stipulated it no longer wants any involvement in Russia. And theoretically, BP could bid for the shares of the NewCo, but again, that's not really feasible because of BP's stance. In addition to BP, a number of large Japanese investors have also put a lot of money into Russian oil fields, as have Shell. And all of those investments are now at risk of being fully nationalised by the Russian authorities. Natural gas is also a huge natural resource for Russia and represents massive business. And in the same way as the oil industry, the natural gas business has been developed in conjunction with a lot of overseas investors. Much of the natural gas is trapped beneath frozen parts of Russia and requires large amounts of capital in order to extract it and then to transport it. Shell has invested over $3 billion into these activities, and the largest natural gas fields that Russia have been developed in conjunction with Japanese investors who have a 50% stake in the joint venture. In addition to extraction, Russia also has extensive pipelines that it has laid all across Europe to enable it to supply natural gas directly to countries such as Poland, Germany, and Italy. Nord Stream 2 is a new pipeline that has been laid directly from Russia to Germany and cost over $11 billion. And Gazprom, the Russian gas business, owns 50% of Nord Stream 2, and the remaining $5.5 billion was provided by a variety of European businesses. Now, the opening of Nord Stream 2 has now been blocked, but the investment that's been made by all of these European companies will be lost forever, as I'm sure that this will now be nationalised and moved fully into Russian ownership. In addition to oil and natural gas, Russia also has an abundance of minerals and has a huge mining industry. And there are a number of overseas mining companies that have joint venture arrangements in Russia. Rio Tinto has a joint venture with Rusal International, which is the Russian aluminium business. Rio Tinto actually owns 80% of Queensland Alumina Limited, which is Australia's second largest refinery processing alumina, the chemical compound which contains aluminium. Rusal owns the remaining 20%, but the interesting thing here is that the mine is located in Russia. All of the equipment around that mining business is in Russia, and so even though Rusal only has a 20% stake, it's likely that the Russian authorities will seize this business and then own 100% of all of the activities within Russia. Glencore has a 10.5% stake in EN Plus Group, which is also focused on the extraction and refinement of bauxite used in the aluminium production process. This minority stake is highly likely to be fully diluted and reduced to zero value. The Canadian mining business Kinross Gold owns 100% of Kupol, which is the leading gold mine in Russia and has one of the lowest operating costs in the Kinross portfolio. This was a prized asset for Kinross Gold, who have built and paid for all of the infrastructure at this remote mine. They were in the process of undertaking a feasibility study, and the first production at this new mine was expected in Q4 2025. Kinross Gold has announced that it's suspending its Russian activities and is now subject to the risk of this very lucrative gold mine being nationalised by the Russian authorities. A large number of multinational companies have joint venture manufacturing facilities in Russia. Ford Motor Company currently has 3 plants that it has built over the last 10 years, and those plants are currently suspended from operation. Under the terms of the new law, the Russian authorities will be able to seize control of these plants unless Ford recommences production and rehires all of the staff that it's currently asked to stand down. In addition to car manufacturing, a variety of pharmaceutical businesses also have large operations on the ground in Russia, which are now all at risk. A variety of international brands decided that rather than setting up facilities that they own directly, they would like to expand in Russia using franchises. And this model has been rolled out by companies such as Burger King, Subway, KFC, Marks and Spencer, Papa John's and Marriott Hotels. When news of the Russian invasion was announced, the international holders of all of these brands announced that they wanted to close all of their operations in Russia. But actually what they found when they tried to implement that closure was that the local franchisees, who are all Russian entrepreneurs and business people, all decided that they wanted to carry on trading. They didn't want to close all of the stores because there was no benefit for them for doing so. So we've had a situation where these international brands have suddenly realized that they no longer have control over their own brand within Russia. So they've been unable to stop the local businesses from operating. And essentially, these brands have been taken now and are under Russian ownership. So we don't know what will happen with regards to the commercial trading relationship between the top companies and the Russian entities. But what we do know is that these brands now are operating independently within Russia, have the same brand name as the rest of the world, but are operating completely independently. So we have a very strange situation that although Burger King are saying that they want to exit from Russia, all of their stores are still open, they're still serving burgers, and it's business as usual on the ground, even though Burger King do not want these stores to continue trading. So it's quite an unusual situation, and it actually saves the authorities from having to nationalize those businesses, because it looks like the legal framework that was put in place already enables the franchisees to keep the brand without having to pay any compensation to Top Company. So what can international business do about this new law that enables the Russian authorities to nationalize all of their long-term investments? Well, the one thing that companies have been doing to try to avoid this situation is what's known as a half exit. So we've seen from a variety of brands that they've announced that although they would like to exit entirely from Russia and they no longer want to do business there, they are continuing to trade and continuing to supply products where it's seen as being essential to do so, predominantly from a humanitarian perspective. So we've seen the pharmaceuticals companies announcing that they will continue to supply drugs and medical equipment. We've seen companies like Pepsi and Unilever announcing that they'll continue to supply baby food and other essential food items because they're needed by the people of Russia. And under international law, they are still entitled to continue with these supply chains. By keeping their businesses open to a certain extent and keeping them trading, it may avoid this nationalization proposal. However, the rules do state that they have to continue trading at the level they were at and making sure that they employ all of the staff. So there's potentially a technicality that if the Russian authorities wanted to seize control of Unilever or Johnson & Johnson or PepsiCo's operations, they probably could. So it'll be interesting to see what actually happens in practice, whether or not these companies are allowed to carry on as they are, or whether the authorities will decide to seize all overseas investments. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, the new law that's been introduced by the Russian authorities is in retaliation to the sanctions that have been introduced against all Russian businesses and the cutting off of all the cash flow from around the world, and also the seizing and the freezing of the $640 billion of assets that Russia has outside of Russia. The response from the international business community has been highly negative towards Russia, and to try to minimize the impact on the Russian economy, the Russian authorities have announced that they can now take over all of these assets and investments. Now, this has put international business into a very difficult position. A lot of companies had been looking to just wind down their operations, to keep their heads down, wait for the dust to settle, and then restart all of their businesses at some point in the future. That's certainly what it looks like. This new law will not allow them to do that. What will happen is that the authorities will step in, they will take over these businesses, they will make sure that they carry on trading to the maximum capacity, and that the ownership of that new entity passes directly to Russian individuals. So this represents a great opportunity for Russia to be able to benefit from all of the overseas investment it's had over the last 30 years and to take 100% ownership back of all of its assets. So it's been working with international businesses on joint ventures in oil and natural gas and other areas. And this will allow all of those joint ventures to be written off and for everything to pass straight back to Russian ownership. So there will be a major financial benefit to Russia for nationalizing all of these businesses. And equally on the flip side, there will be a loss of business and trading and revenue amongst the international community. So the overall impact of this situation is going to be beneficial to Russia and detrimental to the global economy. In the long term, it remains to be seen whether or not this will all be good for Russia. They are currently cutting trading ties with a lot of their business partners from around the world. Now, they may be able to find new business partners or they may not. And if they can't find new business partners, then that means that their exports will fall, and Russia is very dependent on its exports. So that would be detrimental in the long term. But in terms of just summarizing what we're talking about today, Russia have got very much on the front foot. They've decided not to let any of these investments and assets wither on the vine. They want to take control and ownership, and they'll make sure that everything carries on as it is, just with different owners. So hopefully you found this useful, informative, and interesting. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.